Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel. You make me feel.
Go, girl.
To Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and 106.7 FM in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasa. The holidays are here. Grief is usually something that we do not talk about, but grief is a part of the holidays. And it's important that we get support. That's what we're talking about this evening on Health Notes. Grief in the holidays. Spiritual care advisor and grief support specialist for Hospice Advantage, Reverend Deb Beckley, is our guest this evening on Health Notes. Good. You know, when you're thinking about grief, the holidays is, it just seems like grief is even more of a challenge during the holidays. People feel lonelier, and I mean, we usually put our best face forward as opposed to addressing it or getting help. Have you noticed that to be true?
Holidays are a time spent with loved ones, and it's been imprinted on us since we were young that they mark passage of time in our lives. And so they're part of this milestone. And when we are facing loss of a loved one during this time, the celebratory qualities seem to dissipate a bit, and the holidays seem to magnify our loss. Time when sadness feels a little sadder and the loneliness goes a little bit deeper. Word grief is something that we want to push aside, but the truth is that we do have to deal with it, and that grief is a way out of the pain.
I think that grief is something that we run away from. So when you say that grief is a way out of the pain, explain that to us.
You know, we do tend to want to move past it, but the only way to do that is to actually feel the grief and lean into it. And when we do that, we find that the pain that we have each time seems to lessen. The saying that time does heal all wounds, or it does help the pain, it really does. And there are a lot of ways that we can do that through the holidays.
Give us some suggestions of the kind of things that we can do to help ourselves as we're grieving and mourning.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, they're the biggest challenges for most of us, but there's ways that we can externalize our loss and give it a time, give it a place and a space, set an intention for it, you know, offer a prayer before a holiday dinner, you know, one that is specifically about that loved one. Or maybe we light a candle for them and just remember them with a smile and silence. Create an online tribute. I have clients that do this, and it's a way for them to chat and to share with people other than their family, because sometimes that can weigh you down when you're sharing your grief with the same folks over and over again. Offering a funny story, you know, going around the room and offering a funny story and making sure that the things that you do offer you an opportunity to smile. There may be some tears shed, but eventually, memories, we create memories, and they should bring us joy, and they should make us smile. A lot of ways to cope, and I encourage people during the holidays to have a plan A and a plan B. Oftentimes, just knowing that there's a plan B in place is enough to get through the plan A. But if you find that you are not going through the emotions with any kind of feeling, I say cancel a holiday altogether. It's okay. You can take a year off because the holidays will come around again and again and again. Some people staying involved with the holidays is a symbol of life continuing, but for some folks, it's not. We really do need to be gentle with ourselves.
What if we're just downright angry about everything and everybody? Anything that we can, I mean, there's something about all of it that, you know, when you're sad, you don't want to be bothered and you kind of isolate. And in actuality, it seems like being with other people might help break us out of the isolation that we've created for ourselves.
I think that we have to be committed to being gentle with ourselves and protecting ourselves and our own energy. And we know how to do that when we take a moment and step out of what is coming up for us. I really encourage people to not do more than you want to do and move away from anything that doesn't serve your soul or your loss. And one of the most important things to do, especially with anger, is listen to your body and allow time for these feelings to move through your physical body and connect with them. You know, the feelings that we have, they are the director of our story. And I say be present with them, just like you were a friend. And if you get connected to those feelings that are going on physically, those triggers, as you would a friend, you will be gentle with yourself, you will be mindful, and you will be aware, and you'll know what to do. You'll know if you need to be more grounded or if going out and being with a lot of other people is what your soul needs.
In the piece that you wrote on grief and the holidays, you talked about tears. Talk to us about crying.
That goes back to the physical body. We hold on to so much. And tears and anger are a way to release that energy, that anxiety. keeping your feelings bottled up is unhealthier than we realize. It causes distress, and when we are not at ease, we are at dis-ease. And until we get a handle on our stress and our grief, we can actually get physically ill. Release and let go. And if you have 50 tears, 500 tears to cry, don't stop at 250. You know, empty your cart and make room for a little bit of joy. Do that one day at a time, one step at a time. And it just goes back to listening to who you are and remembering that we are all on our own journey of grief. It's individual. It's not an event. It is certainly not an event. It is our own personal anguish, and we shed that like we would layers of an onion, just keep on shedding that until we are seeing light a lot more than we are seeing grayness.
What about those of us who have loved ones who are grieving themselves? What will help us be of the best help to the one that we love that's grieving?
You know, what I find that happens is we ask, and we ask with the best of intention. What can I do to help you? Can I help you? And I think we should avoid asking if we can help somebody in grief and just do it. You know, just help and find a way to be with them, invite them to group events, family events, or something quieter, maybe coffee or tea. But one thing that clients say to me, and I've found this in my own personal experience, is that, you know, when the memorial and all of that is said and done and over, we all get on with our lives, which is part of what we should do. But the one who's grieving oftentimes wonders, have they forgotten my loss? Have they forgotten my mother or my father, my brother, my sister so soon? And, of course, those who are standing on the outside of somebody grieving have not. They haven't forgotten, but it feels that way when you're lonely, because when all of that stuff dies down and the family goes back to their lives, those who are closest in the grief process are the ones who feel the deepest of sadness and loneliness. Pick up the phone, and, you know, we think of it all the time. Someone comes into our mind, and we think, I'll call tomorrow. But do it right then and there, and even if it's just leaving a message, it means the world to somebody who is thinking about the same person over and over again, day in and day out.
It's really interesting because it seems like everybody else is okay and you're not okay. It's taking you longer than it seems to be taking others to get over it. And what's the matter with me that I can't, you know, I can't seem to get past this?
Yeah. You know, I think no matter how long your period of grief is, it feels long. You know, no matter how long it is, some people who grieve outwardly to someone else in a short period of time, for them, it feels like eons of time when you don't feel well inside. And you want those feelings of joy and happiness back when you have a memory of somebody that you love. And, you know, and I think all too often that when we grieve as adults, we forget that children around us, they are grieving as well, and they tend to absorb more than we ever know. I think that it's important to be mindful of them, and because they're very in tune to us and what's being experienced by us, and just keeping a watchful eye of observation on them is really important for them as well.
Do we need to do anything special for our children?
You know, I'm a firm believer in ceremony. Small rituals, lighting a candle, saying a prayer, reading a poem, you know, even watching a favorite movie that a child may have watched with a grandparent or a parent, walking to the same places that they may have walked. And nature for everyone reconnects us with our soul, and it replenishes us and it fills us back up with light and life, more so with children because they're much easier filled up with light than we are. We work a little bit harder at it because we analyze it, and they kind of just go with the flow. So finding things that you did together, making an intentional little ceremony or a ritual that you might do on a weekly basis or part of your morning or something that you say in the mirror, the smallest of things shift our consciousness in the way that we think about our loss. And for adults as well as children, meditation is an amazing way to shift our internal conscious thought. It's relaxing and calming, and it redirects our emotional state. And we can do that in a few breaths. We can be at a stoplight and take a few very deep breaths and, you know, think beautiful, joyful thoughts, and we can change the way our physical body is feeling. Visualizing that which makes us feel good, especially when we have those emotional triggers, those pain bodies that pop up at the most unimaginable times. Let's do something that is quick and brief but very effective, and breath work is important.
So when you talk about meditation, do you have any suggestions for folks who aren't meditators, a simple way of being able to do that?
You know, we're kind of gifted with so much online. Finding guided meditations for folks who don't generally sit down and get very still and quiet and can't get rid of that white noise in the back of your mind. Finding a guided meditation that is relaxing, typically a stress-reducing meditation, because that allows every muscle, every aspect of the body to relax. And that's really what we're looking for, to relax at a cellular level, at a very, very deep level. People who have never meditated before, as soon as they begin, it's almost an addictive thing. It's something that they look forward to doing each day. And we've done different types of stress meditation with my team, because we're caregivers of those who are at end of life. And you, as a matter of fact, have come, and drumming is an amazing way to release tension and stress and to just go deep within and feel yourself at a soul level. And when we connect with the innermost relationship that we have with ourselves, that higher part of us, everything looks different on the outside world. And doing that as often as possible is a gift to ourselves and to others around us.
You know, when I think about everything that we're talking about, there is kind of a double-edged sword in this whole conversation. As important as it is to feel better and take care of ourselves, sometimes we feel like we are betraying the person that we're grieving if we do feel good. We think that feeling bad is showing our love for them. And I'm just wondering, does that fit anywhere in this conversation?
Of course it fits. But, you know, it is one of those things, like you said, it's one of those things that we've been handed down, that we've been taught. And feeling bad isn't something that we want to move toward. I mean, it's always something, it's in our nature. It's natural for you and I, when we feel bad or we feel that place inside of us where the knife is turning, that we do whatever we can to move away from that, whether it's something physical or whether we take a moment and get still and shift our consciousness or our thought about it. You know, I think there's a whole nother realm of conversation about how we change form, you know, how we never truly die. In my mind, I mean, I work with end-of-life patients every day, and we transition into a new form. And that form is love, total love. And there is just no way that that love could in any way want us to inhibit grief for any longer than we need to, understanding that it's normal, it's natural, and it's part of the process. But when the body is letting you know that today I feel better, today I want to breathe the sunshine, that is the gift from our loved one. That is the point when we know that we're shifting to the other side of this, and we have worked through so much of the pain, and that now we recognize that, oh yeah, that glimpse that I thought I saw out of the corner of my eye, or the presence I thought I felt, I'm getting past my grief, and my loved one's right here with me. So moving past that grief is a joyous time, because then we're so much more aware spiritually of the connection that we have with those beyond this life.
Programming is supported by Mutual Management Company. Mutual Management offers housing in Riverside Homes, a collection of vintage, low-density properties in the heart of the Riverside neighborhood. These homes feature unique layouts, strong connections to outdoor spaces, and the opportunity to build community within this vibrant area. Since 1980, Riverside Homes has helped preserve the character of this critical neighborhood. Learn more or explore available housing by contacting Mutual Management, MutualMGMTCompany.com, or by calling 612-333-9164. Make Riverside Homes your next home. Programming on KFAI is supported in part by Health Partners. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal. More information at healthpartners.com/oneplan.
We're talking this evening with Reverend Deb Meckley, spiritual care advisor and grief support specialist for Hospice Advantage. Is nature a form of meditation, Deb?
Absolutely. We get reconnected with Mother Earth, with the roots of who we are. And I don't know that there is no one that could ever say that walking out into the woods or standing by a lake or going out in your backyard and taking a few deep, fresh breaths does not make you mindful of your surroundings, reconnect you with the heart of who you are. A walk in nature is meditation. A walk, just walking, is meditative. Oftentimes today it's misting and it's a light rain, and I'm going to walk out into the woods when I'm done with this conversation and just feel the rain on my face. And I have things to do when I come back, and I will be totally regenerated and replenished. So nature's our connection to everything, from where we come from and where we're going back to. So it would stand to reason that that would be a place to start for anyone who questions, how do I become meditative or tranquil or still?
You talk about seeing your own healing from the inside out allows you an opportunity to embrace the grief, which moves the pain out. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Seeing your own healing from the inside out. When I think about that statement, I think about when we reach for something outside of ourselves, we never feel whole from it. But when we go within and we can feel these layers, these levels that rise above and move on out, there's a lightness. There's always a lightness to that. And epiphanies, we get shown things inwardly that give us opportunities to thrive and to shine our light. We don't realize when we're heavy with grief how light we are and how much we have to give and the gift that we are to the world. And when we just allow these feelings to come up, you know, those triggers, those pain bodies that don't feel well, the only way to feel better and to move through them is to allow them to come all the way up to your throat, to where you have that lump in your throat. And you may cry, you may breathe through it, but once you allow it up, it goes out. You don't push it down and suppress it. You allow it up and out. Once it leaves, it leaves. It changes its form, and it leaves. And every time you do that, you'll find that the lump is not as harsh or intense. It's smaller, and it doesn't last as long, and it doesn't come as often. And you know that you've healed from the inside out, and you've done that. You've allowed that. And that is so powerful, because if you can do that in grief, you can do that in any aspect, anything you desire in your life, you can move up and out of anything.
What about grief support groups?
Grief support groups they're very powerful in the sense that they're not a place where you go to cry and to hear the same story from someone else that you already have. they're a safe place, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's with other people, to find what's coming up most for folks, to share that with each other, and to share the things that you do that work for you. You may have some insight on the same subject that somebody else is experiencing that they never thought of before, and what a gift we can be to one another. Once folks are able to show up in that way, it feels really good to come to a support group, one-on-one or with groups of people. And it's not just bereavement and post-bereavement. There are people grieving the loss of people prior to the loss itself. At Hospice Advantage, we support our families before transition and indefinitely after transition, and we care for the caregivers who are caring for those before the loss and the grief they feel prior to that. So there are a lot of aspects to grief. People do it differently. Some people do it the same. But the stories, everyone has a story, and lighting the load of their heart by telling the story is the first step to moving through the grief and out of the pain and back into the light.
How is it different when you're going through the process, when you're grieving, when someone's still here? Is everything that we talked about, is it the same process when someone's still here and going through that process versus being gone physically?
There are some similarities, but I think that it's pretty different. One of the care for the caregivers support groups that I do is at a facility for spouses who live in that the apartments there, but they have spouses in memory care. And to imagine this person that you've loved for 50, 60 years doesn't remember you, but you visit every day, and they're gone from your physical being, but not from your sight. And that's a tough one. That's hard. And you think that you're still preparing. You're preparing to not be remembered and to be the caregiver, which is such a connection. And to lose that connection is hard for folks. And the other aspect to that is when you can have a conversation with somebody, but you know that all of these firsts and lasts are coming up at the same time, how we move through that and how we talk with it, how we talk with and about that with the person who is at end of life. So that's what I do, is it's help families get past that fear and get through any of those themes that may be hanging on that they can release so that they can stop fighting to live and actually just live.
As loved ones, as we are there with the people that we love who are present, is there a way that we can help that journey be easier?
Are you talking about the caregivers or for those who are in the end-of-life process?
Both. I'm wondering if there's a way that the caregivers can help the loved one make that journey easier. I hear, for example, that it's important that loved ones let the people that they care for know that it's okay to go, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I encourage life review and forgiveness. Oftentimes we are holding on to things that we don't even realize, and so we encourage to move through and work through forgiveness issues with people. And there are energetic blocks when we are moving through that process, as natural as it is. There are things that can slow that down. And of course, the end of life, the dying process, is so natural. I spent over 20 years working in obstetrics and in the delivering of babies, and now I'm on the other end, midwifing people to the other side, and it's actually easier to go out than it is to come in. When you allow yourself as a family member to view the dying process as natural and to allow the body to do what it's doing. We're born understanding and knowing at a cellular level how to die. And when we allow that process to happen, it can be a very beautiful experience than when we try to fight it and do everything we can do to stop certain physical things from happening. We allow them to happen, and then we understand that they were meant to be. So We just help families work through the fear, and so that they can really see that this is a beautiful process. And oftentimes we do ritual and ceremony and light candles, and there's certain music being played and poetry being written. I was even recently with a gentleman as he was passing, and he loved to eat, and his son-in-law-to-be was a chef. He was cooking in the kitchen up a storm, and his last request was, everybody eat like it's your very last day. Enjoy it, smell it, taste it, feel it for me. Have dessert, and I'll leave right after dessert. And by golly, he did. They found joy in his passing and celebrated with him. So, you know, everyone's at a different level with it, but the intention and the goal for me is to bring people closer to a more feeling of comfort and peace with the process.
What a beautiful conversation. Any last words of wisdom for us?
I'm about to do a talk coming up on death as my advisor, which is really an interesting statement. But if we lived like we knew that and understood how imminent and beautiful death was, we wouldn't consume our thoughts each day in the fear of dying. And we also would understand that grief is a physical process, and when we get through that piece of it, we actually get to be reconnected with our spirituality and with our light and with the love that we have and the compassion. And we change. We can really change the way we look at the world and the way we are together. I just encourage people to make an attempt to understand the end of life process and to be able to find the peace in that. And if you can't, to reach out, because there are beautiful, beautiful ways to create transitions and to be with them. As far as grieving goes, you know, if it's the point in grief that you're just not getting past it, then it may be time. You know, I encourage you to talk to somebody about your grief and to be able to move through it, because, you know, we're not put here to do anything alone. Reach out, allow yourself to get some help, or allow others who offer help to be that for you, and know that you are never alone. Ever. You're never alone.
Beautiful conversation. We've been talking about grief in the holidays this evening. Spiritual care advisor and grief support specialist for Hospice Advantage, Reverend Deb Meckley, has been our guest this evening. Thank you for your insight and your wisdom. You know, what I'll walk away with is how natural death is and how easy it is. So thank you for that one. Appreciate it a lot. Great conversation.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Isn't it love in this life that need you now. What are you waiting for, Billy? Grow with me. Isn't it love in this life that you
Most of us have been taught that death is the ultimate end. Death is frightening. It is dark, the unknown, beyond our control. We resist death. We brace ourselves against it. We run away because we do not understand death merely means change. When single people marry, their single life dies. As people age, their days of youth are gone. Death is the prerequisite of change. When we become willing to change, we learn to accept death as a meaningful new beginning. We may never like the idea of death. It may never make us comfortable. However, when we want to change anything in life, we must be willing to face death. Affirmation. I move peacefully through the darkness into the light of change. That comes from the book Acts of Faith, Daily Meditations, Iyanla Van Zandt.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by Health Partners. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal. More information at healthpartners.com/oneplan.
This next segment talks about the 10 most cancer-causing foods and things that we can consume. So pay close attention.
Alcohol. An American study that followed the diet and lifestyles of more than 200,000 women for almost 14 years found that postmenopausal women who drank one drink per day or less had an almost 30% increase in breast cancer rates compared to women who did not drink at all. Alcohol use is the second leading cause of cancer, right behind tobacco use. While a moderate or low consumption of alcohol can be healthy and lead to a reduced risk of heart disease, excessive drinking is known to cause heart failure, stroke, and sudden death. In 2007, experts working for the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer looked at the scientific evidence regarding cancer and alcohol use from 27 different studies. They found sufficient evidence to state that excessive alcohol use is the main cause of mouth, esophagus, liver, colon, mouth, rectum, and female breast cancers. Don't fret. You can still enjoy that glass of wine with dinner, but, for your health's sake, no more than one. 9. Hydrogenated oils. Let's start from the point that all hydrogenated oils are vegetable oils. Vegetable oils cannot be extracted naturally like butter is. Vegetable oils must be chemically removed from their source, and then they are changed to be more acceptable to consumers. They are frequently deodorized and colored to look appealing. All vegetable oils contain high levels of omega-6 fatty acids. An excess of omega-6 fatty acids cause health problems, such as heart disease and an increase in various cancers, especially skin cancer. You need a good balance of both omega-3 and omega-6. Try to get plenty of omega-3 every day. You can do this in the form of supplements and grass-fed meats. Also, fatty fish such as salmon and mackerel are a very good source of omega-3. Hydrogenated oils are used to preserve processed foods and keep them looking appealing for as long as possible. Hydrogenated oils influence our cell membrane's structure and flexibility, which is linked to cancer. 8. Foods that are highly salted, pickled, or smoked. Foods that are cured by use of nitrates or nitrites act as preservatives as well as adding color to the meat. Although nitrates do not cause cancer in and of themselves, under certain conditions these chemicals change once they are inside the body into N-nitrosyl composites. It's this N-nitrosyl that is associated with a greater increase the risk of developing cancers. Smoking foods such as meat or nuts causes these food items to absorb considerable amounts of the tar the smoke produces. Tar is a known carcinogen. Meats such as bacon, sausage, bologna, and salami are high in fat and salt. Pickled foods are also very high in salts. There is overwhelming evidence that eating these types of foods greatly increases the risk of colorectal cancer and higher rates of stomach cancer. The rates of stomach cancer are much greater in places such as Japan, where a traditional diet contains many foods that are highly salted and/or smoked. 7. Highly processed white flours. Most of you have already heard by now that white flour is not a good thing, but you most likely have no idea just how bad it really is for your health. Refining grains destroys its natural nutrients. Mills are no longer content with waiting for their flour to whiten with time. Mills now bleach flour with a chemical called chlorine gas. The EPA states that chlorine gas is a dangerous irritant that is not safe to inhale and in large quantities can be lethal. White flour lurks in many processed foods. White processed flour has a very high glycemic rate which quickly raises the blood sugar level and insulin levels, which can be a direct cause of diabetes, not to mention it is believed that it spreads cancer cells by feeding the cells directly. Cancerous tumors feed mostly on the sugars in your bloodstream. By avoiding refined grains such as white flour, you can avoid, or at the very least, starve tumors. 6. processed meats. What exactly are processed meats? This is a long list that includes, but is not limited to, sausages, hot dogs, bacon, most lunch meats like bologna or pimento loaf. Researchers who wrote in the Journal of BMC Medicine said that the excessive salts and chemicals that are used when making processed meats are damaging to your health. The study showed that 1 in every 17 people who were involved in the study died, and those who ate 160 grams or more of processed meats increased their risk of early death as much as 44% within 12 years as opposed to those who ate 20 grams or less. This study involved people from 10 European countries and went on for almost 13 years. All these processed meats contain numerous chemicals and preservatives, including sodium nitrates, which make them look appealing and fresh but are well-known carcinogens. Smoking meats seem to be particularly bad as the meat picks up tar from the smoking process. Yes, tar, the same deadly ingredient that cigarette smoke contains. 5. Canned tomatoes. Actually, most canned foods are a concern because of what the can is lined with. The lining of almost all canned foods are made with a chemical called bisphenol A, or BPA. A study published in May of 2013 by the Proceeding of the National Academy of Sciences showed that BPA actually affects the way genes work inside the brain of rats. Even the FDA agrees that there is a problem with BPA as it is supporting efforts to either replace or at the very least, to minimize the amounts found in canned foods. You know, it must be bad when even the very lax FDA is concerned. Tomatoes are exceptionally dangerous due to their high acidity, which seems to cause BPA to leach from the lining of the can into the tomatoes themselves. The level of BPA can be so high, in fact, you should seriously consider not feeding them to children. Due to FDA laws, there are no standards for labeling BPA, so simply because a can does not say it has it does not mean that it does not contain BPA. Be safe and avoid cans. Cook fresh or buy glass bottles. 4. Potato chips. Yes, we know, potato chips are cheap, great tasting, quick snack. However, the negative effects they have on your body may not be worth the little bit of pleasure you derive from these crispy snacks. Potato chips are high in both fat and calories, which are sure to bring on weight gain. A study done in the New England Journal of Medicine found that eating just 1 ounce of potato chips per day caused an average 2-pound weight gain in 1 year. Besides being full of trans fats, which can cause high cholesterol in most people, they have excessive sodium levels, which, for many people, cause high blood pressure. Potato chips have artificial flavors, numerous preservatives, and colors as well, which is something else your body doesn't need. Potato chips are fried in high temperatures to make them crispy, but this also causes them to make a material called acrylamide, a known carcinogen that is also found in cigarettes. It's hard to say no to your kids' demands for chips sometimes, therefore, as a sneaky alternative, buy them baked potato chips or tortilla chips, which are at least lower in both fat and calories. Air pop popcorn and whole wheat pretzels are another healthier option. Or try baked apple chips or banana chips, which are dehydrated. Both are crispy and are far healthier than regular potato chips. 3. Farmed salmon. Although fish sounds like one of the healthiest foods possible, farmed salmon is one you should avoid. Unfortunately, more than 60% of the salmon consumed in the USA is farm-raised. These fish are fed unnatural diets and are contaminated with chemicals, antibiotics, pesticides, and other known carcinogens. They live in very crowded conditions, which results in these fish having 30 times the number of sea lice than wild salmon. Doesn't that sound appetizing? Farmed salmon are fed chemicals to make their meat that reddish pink color that should occur naturally but doesn't because of the diet of chicken litter that they are fed. Also, due to their diet, they have less of the healthy omega-3 that we think we are getting when we consume fish. Studies have also shown that farmed salmon contain high levels of PCBs, mercury, and cancer-causing dioxins. Avoid farmed salmon and buy it canned, or look for labels in your market that state the fish you are buying is wild sockeye salmon. 2. Soda pop. Perhaps you heard about the recent study that was published in May in the American Journal of Nutrition. It found that people who consumed more than one soda per day had a higher risk of stroke than people who did not drink sodas. Loaded with sugar, sodas are an empty source of calories that cause weight gain and contribute to the nationwide epidemic of obesity. Drinking large amounts of this rapidly digested sugar causes your blood sugar to spike, which can lead to BUF inflammation and insulin resistance. Soda is often the root cause of gastroesophageal reflux disease, which is when the contents of the stomach leak into the esophagus, causing not only pain, but an actual burning of the esophagus from stomach acid. Although sodas are not a direct cause of ulcers, they are known to irritate and make those with ulcers have more pain. Sodas also contain artificial colorings and food chemicals like derivative 4-methylimidazole, 4-MI. No wonder soda pop has been shown to cause cancer. 1. Microwave popcorn. Those little bags of popcorn are so convenient to just stick in the microwave, you wouldn't think for a minute that they could be dangerous to your health, but they are. First, let's talk about the bag itself. According to Wikipedia, conventional microwave popcorn bags are lined with a chemical called perfluorectanoic acid, PFOA. This is a toxin you can find in Teflon also. According to a recent study at the University of California, PFOA is linked to infertility in women. Numerous studies in lab animals and humans show that exposure to PFOA significantly increases the risk of kidney, bladder, liver, pancreas and testicular cancers. Now, let's talk about the contents. Although every manufacturer uses slightly different ingredients, most of them use soybean oil, a GMO product, as well as various preservatives such as propyl gallate, a chemical that causes stomach problems and skin rashes. Now, they don't actually say they are using GMO corn kernels, but that's because the government says they don't have to. Even if they don't use GMO corn, you can bet they aren't using organic corn.
That was a list of the 10 foods that are most likely to cause cancer, so stay away from them.
Today, I want to talk about rotating your greens. It's very important to do that. The reason is all greens have certain type of alkaloids. Each green has a different alkaloid. And now these alkaloids are in very small, unharmful amounts. But if you continually take in the same alkaloid week after week, month after month, they can build up in your system. And the best way to avoid that is to rotate your greens. This is the best way. And I want to encourage you and get you excited about rotating your greens, because some of y'all are still just stuck with spinach because that's the one you like. Now, what we want to do is basically, if you pick a green for that week, say you were doing spinach, then the next week you want to do kale. Next week you want to do chard. You feel me? It's just keep trying different greens week after week. Or you could do two in a week. Say I'm going to do kale and spinach this week. The next week I'm going to do arugula and chard. But just mix it up. Y'all are veterans now. It's time to upgrade and rotate your greens, okay? So let me introduce you to some of these greens so you can get excited about it. The first one that we're going to look at is arugula. Now, arugula, I'm going to kind of open this up so you can kind of take a look at it. But you can see that it's a very, very light green. See how fluffy and light? It looks like weeds. But it's very mild tasting. It has a great source of folic acid, a lot of vitamins A, C, and K. If you want to get smarter, it's great for bone and brain health. And the reason I like it is it has a very zippy, peppery flavor. Now this one, chard, oh man, this is my favorite. Look how beautiful this is. When you see these red stalks, you know you've come across some chard. This is red Swiss chard. Now it does have a beet-like taste, but it's a mild texture. And I like it because it is very good for certain cancers, and it's excellent at cleansing the digestive tract. Oh my goodness, it smells so good. Now the next one is collard greens. Now, collard greens, we call them collards where I come from, but it's a staple in Southern cooking. Now, it's nutritionally similar to kale, but it's a lot chewier. Embrace yourself, it is a much stronger taste. But I don't want that to discourage you. You guys are veterans, you know what to do. If it's a little strong, what you gonna do? You're gonna put in a little bit more fruit. And the reason you wanna try it, it has great properties for lowering cholesterol. So don't be afraid of the collard. The next one is kale. See, some of y'all be on there talking about you don't like kale. I'm gonna help you like kale. You know how you like kale? You do baby kale. Some of you guys are getting the one with the stalk and the stems. All that makes it too bitter. The baby kale is much milder. It's lighter, it's very ruffle flavor, and it's great for certain type of cancers like breast, colon, bladder cancer. So, hey, don't be afraid of the kale. The kale is good for you. And then we got mustard greens. Now, mustard greens are very effective at lowering cholesterol too. And you could see it has a lot of magnesium, niacin, it's lots of vitamins. It has a lot of disease-fighting properties. But I like it. Ooh, this smells good. Ooh, it smells so good. I like it because it's very light and it has a mild taste. And spinach, do I even need to introduce you guys to spinach? This is the most beloved green of them all. It's the mildest in taste. When you first start out, I would always encourage everybody to do spinach because you won't taste it in your smoothies. And it has tons of vitamins and phytonutrients, and it's a great place to start. But then you gotta graduate to some of these other greens. And lastly, we have turnip greens. Now, although, see how pretty the leaves are? They're very pretty. The thing you wanna know about turnips is they are slightly bitter, but they have numerous health benefits. They actually are pretty strong tasting in a smoothie, so you will taste them. But they have a lot of ability to fight cancer. So you wanna try, I got my turnips laid out here. You wanna try some turnip greens as well. Okay, so we got a lot of different greens. Promise me you're gonna try different greens. You're gonna rotate your greens. You wanna graduate and use different type of greens.
You are listening.